Good morning, and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything radio show. And good morning, Jen.
Good afternoon, Chris. It is a mouthful, isn't it?
It is indeed. I always have to check in to see if I get the anything and everything in
anything
the right place
in the everything.
Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Actually, it's funny. I always think how it's such a great practice to not shorten it, you know, how we haven't just gone to, you know, the how show or whatever it is. I think that's so, it's so very how you do anything is how you do everything. And we want what we're training in is paying attention, being here, and not taking shortcuts. So I love that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's great to have that reminder each time, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I always think of that,
All right, so our assignment from yesterday, I would be a better person if only, record and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Steve from Long Island.
Hey, Steve.
And, hello. Well, let's see. I would be a better person if only... only I stopped walking while I was talking.
Exactly. It's kind of endless, isn't it? If only I didn't do that, if I did do this, if I was that way, if I was that, you know, if I didn't take shortcuts, if I didn't.
Oh, let's see. Better person. Okay. I'm a good person. Oh, yes, now I remember.
Okay. I'm
sorry.
Look right at it, doesn't
it? Yes, now I recall. I remember when it got time to record and listen that I felt profoundly grateful for the opportunity to be the person I am. But that's not how it started.
That's not how it started. Uh-huh. Same word.
No. Yes. Let's see now. Oh, yeah, it started out with, you know, if I did the things I should do, if I... didn't do the things I shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Steve, do you have a sense of how, in that process of recording, how it came around to the gratitude for being who you are, being the person you are?
It really would be great to do all kinds of things and all that, but that doesn't really change the person I am.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, it would change. Well, you know, it matters a lot. Mm-hmm. I care about all those things, but they really don't change who I am.
No, and they won't. Right? I'm sort of either side. So, you know, we've been talking with all of these if-onlys that conditioning sort of puts this carrot out in front of me. If only this, then that. And what we realize is, no, that's not the case. It isn't going to be that thing that gives me the experience I want. The experience I want is a process, and I can practice having that. And kind of in the same way that you're talking about, that all the things conditioning would say, well, if only you were that way, or you didn't do that, or you didn't, that has no impact on, I already am this extraordinary person. And none of those conditional pieces that the conversation would put onto it has any impact on that. It doesn't touch it at all.
Indeed. It's the being to begin with that makes all those things possible.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That, of course, is what I'm really grateful for.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think about that, you know, depending on what tradition a person resonates with, you know, how you would talk about it. But sort of that sense of, gosh, I mean, God, we could use that word, has provided me, you know, this person. And what a bizarre sort of a thing that I'm going to sit there and now side with that voice who's going to nitpick at this person that God has provided. It's a very odd thing to do.
Yeah, it would be great if it helped, but no.
Right, exactly. But and it's not designed to help. You know, that's the thing I think that's so key to see. Oh, wow. And that's so important to see because it can feel like that, I think, just going around in our lives. Well, it's sort of that self-improvement program. Yeah, yeah, a little this, a little more that, a little this. But what once we realize, gosh, no matter what happens, that voice is always on to the next thing, if only. The next if only, and it's never satisfied. And so then we have a sense that, gosh, it doesn't actually want that. It doesn't want what it says it wants. What it wants is suffering, and that's all that it's creating.
And it succeeds, but not always.
Say that again?
It's easy to give it what it wants, but the alternative works out really well, paying attention.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So much better. Yeah.
It's so much better. Yeah, the alternative of paying attention is so much better because, I mean, I project that's what happened when you reported. You began to get more and more present, and as you did, you dropped into just, oh, my gosh, I'm just grateful for the person that I am. It's just that simple.
Yeah, and of course, as I spend time with that, it also helps me a lot to see what wonderful people I'm surrounded with.
Exactly. That same level of unconditional acceptance, and if you even say unconditional love, perhaps, is kind of rippled out. So I experience it, and then I see it everywhere. That becomes what I project. That's my experience of those around me as well.
Yeah, if I'm going to project something, I'll go with that.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the old couch. If it's all made up, might as well make up a fabulous reality like that, where we're just surrounded by unconditional love and acceptance and miraculous beings. And, yeah, it's really a tangible experience of what you practice is what you have.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because you're in that, you're practicing that unconditional love. You're practicing unconditional acceptance. You're practicing the gratitude for all that is.
Wow. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
So thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for starting us off today.
My pleasure. Go happy.
Go happy.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And Jen, you sound just slightly underwater.
Oh, sure.
Just a little tiny bit.
I'm sitting exactly where I've been sitting. And
everything.
You know,
right.
The way the wind is blowing, I don't know. Is this any better or pretty much the same?
That seems about the same.
Okay. Well, I could try.
I can still understand you, but just a little bit. It's different than the other days, so I just thought I'd see if there was an easy correct, but we'll see how it goes. And
I will try moving, Chris, so you'll have
there
to
you go.
Tell me.
No, that you're loud and clear now.
Okay. Okay.
And,
I'm going to...
you know, I agree with Steve in that last conversation. Wow. really appreciating the way that he started us off with, you know, I would be something about, I know he was joking, but it was like, if only I weren't walking or something like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
calling
yeah.
it out, and yeah. It seems to me like, and I think we touched on this a little bit yesterday, it seems to me like it's really helpful to do that. And I know through practicing for this with the if-onlys throughout the whole week, for me it's really gotten to the place of anytime I feel identified, I can stop and then call that out. I can say, pick any one of these, right? I would be happy if only, and then whatever comes up in that place, wherever, you know, I can locate that dissatisfaction and then do what you're talking about, you know, move to what's working, move the attention to gratitude, move to like that.
So that's the calling it out that you're describing. So you realize, oh, something's going on because I'm not in well-being, and so you just call it out. Oh, well, let's see. I would be happy if only, and you name the sort of invisible condition that's been back there that very often we're not really realizing is there.
That's it, yeah. It's under the radar, yeah.
It's under the radar. Yeah, and it's so funny because it's sort of, in some ways it's counterintuitive, but to call it out that way, gosh, I would be happy if only, and you just call it out. And what's happened in that is, you've brought it into awareness. There.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's really all we needed. Now we're poised to shift the attention to where we actually want it to be.
Exactly. It is the encountering that we're after. We've encountered the suffering in that place, and then we can move to that next phase of transformation. Transcending. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Here's our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? There somewhere. Nope.
Not unmuting? Okay.
All right, let's try another one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sequoia calling from California.
Hey, Sequoia calling from California.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have rumor that it's a beautiful day where you are.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it
couldn't be more perfect, honestly. So, boy, this series of questions has been great, and I too have, as other callers have talked about, have really let. I haven't gone with the right answer for the question.
the quote right answer. Yeah,
I know the right answer. You know
exactly. Yeah.
But I don't always live the right answer. So what's going on here, you know?
Right there, Sequoia. Wow. Yeah. And that's why we want to bring it out. You know, it would be great. If it wasn't back there driving the show, then super, go straight to the quote right answer. But since it is, it's just like Chris was just talking about, isn't it? Call it out. Bring it out.
Absolutely, you know, because, it's just this place of... it's so painful to know the right answer and yet watch, you know, behaviors that are, just different than what we know to actually be leading to, you know, suffering. So,
and that can just be more fodder for the self-hate, can't it?
Yeah, more fodder for the self-hate. So I've been answering these and it's just been very illuminating and just to see the immense amount of pressure placed on the human when I look at this about, you know, with everything that she's supposed to be doing to be the right and perfect person. And it's like, wow, you can hardly breathe under the weight of these dictates, you know. This is what you should be doing,
Gosh, and that's so good to see, I project.
That's what?
So good to see.
So good to see. So good to see. And that, I've had this experience, been having this heightened experience lately. It feels like I'm receiving a lot. So mm-hmm. I've been looking at what is it that I'm hoping to get by being the right perfect person? You know, what is it that I'm hoping to get by, you know, just being this better person, that if I can just do this? And of course, you know, it's hoping to get to the process of being loved and just being, living and, you know, being accepted. And so I've been noticing lately, a lot of gifts have been coming my way, just amazing things. Mm-hmm. And so I've been seeing that, what's going on here? I haven't reached that place of being a perfect person, and yet life is giving me amazing things at every turn.
Yes.
And so once again, I'm seeing just the lie behind it all, that everything I ever wanted is right here.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary, extraordinary, because I project, Sequoia, that there is a level of presence that's required to actually realize how much you're being given and to experience the disconnect between, and if I'm tracking what you're saying, essentially, I think I am having the life that I'm told I would get if I reached perfect person place, but I haven't, quote, reached that perfect person place.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, has this been going on all the time? and I have been just, you know, I've been a clueless because you get mired in self-hate.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is like I'm focused on, you know, improvement. And the whole time, this whole incredible, abundant array of possibilities and gifts is just flowing through, and I'm and I can't see it.
It's that magnificent place of realizing that I am loved. I am so loved, and I haven't met those standards, and thank goodness.
Yeah.
Right? Because to realize those standards, it's like we were just talking about, those standards are made up, they're cruel, they're unkind, and so I don't want to meet them. And so to realize that the love that there is for each of us is completely irrelevant to the standards have nothing to do with it. Those are two completely different processes.
Two completely different processes, and it really is. It's this amazing unconditional love that's here at all times, and and what a waste to be focused on the pursuit of perfection when I'm sitting here in the middle of just love.
and that I think is the that's the practice, that's the challenge in a way. You know, it takes me back to one of my favorite quotes: humans have an infinite ability to take things for granted. We're so surrounded by it that it can almost be hard to see it, and then we practice to remind ourselves.
Boy, we practice to remind ourselves of what's real and
what's real.
Just what's right here, right now. There's nothing to go to. You know, we don't have nothing to do, nothing to change. You know, for so long I heard that. It's like, that may be true for other people, but, you know, there's a definite a need here to change a few things, and then, you know, to just get to that place of like, wow, okay, I get it now. It's unbelievable.
Which I think is why, you know, when what Steve was describing for us earlier, why when we get to presence, we drop into that experience. You know, it's like Sherry says all the time, gratitude is what's there when we're not doing everything else. Joy is what's there when we're not doing anything else.
Yeah.
Happiness is what's there when we're not. All of those things, that's the ground of being, if you will. And all we're practicing is presence. And when we practice that presence, we drop all that other stuff that's put on top of it drops away, and we just drop into the experience.
Yeah. 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 So, anyway, it's a beautiful day here in California.
Beautiful day. And we're just being loved and so many ways.
Loved and, yeah, and receiving and, yeah.
Thank you, Sequoia.
So thank you.
Okay.
All right.
So happy.
You too. So happy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Sequoia. And Jen, I do so enjoy the simplicity of that, that all we're practicing is presence.
Yeah. I do too, Chris, because that's one of the bamboozles that the voices love to use with me is, you know, sort of when there is that expansion and that possibility and that, you know, just the overwhelming gratitude, the image I always get is, okay, the only choice it has at that point is to jam the circus, or attempt to, anyway. So to sort of shove it all at me, we could do this, we could do that, it'll be great, we practice this way, oh, do that practice, do that.
Yeah.
And then that simplicity of, wait, it's a process, and the process is presence.
Yeah. That we've left presence in that, that seduction. Yeah.
In that seduction, yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Karen. Am I on?
You are on, yep.
Oh, wow, I'm from Wisconsin. And,
hey, Karen.
Hi. Well, the first thing I got was I'd be a better person if I were more patient. And then I explored that, and what was behind it was also I'd be a better person if I didn't put up with other people's behavior for so long. And so I liked the fact that it contradicted itself. Like, I actually am very patient, maybe too, like sometimes I'm too patient. Like
too patient.
Yeah, so anyway, so the way that I really... I have a baby in the background. It's okay. So it's like how to get beyond the standards of what is.
Do you need to go attend to the present moment, Karen?
Yeah, maybe. Sorry about that.
That's all right. We can practice patience, absolutely. So you want to hang on a minute, or do you want to?
I have her in my arms. We'll see if she's
the floor. Okay, great.
So,
yes, that it's so amazing, isn't it? I love that when it trips up when you're paying attention and it contradicts itself and you can see it.
And it's like that. But even the idea that I could be the right person right now is kind of I will just say it's a new idea for me. Yeah. And a really liberating idea. Well, maybe I already am the right person. And,
right here, right
and
now.
The standards, right here and right now, and the standards are always going to, you know, the external standards will always tell me I'm not the right person, but the truth is I am the right person.
And this isn't the right moment, and I just love the baby, right? So, there we are. I project it would have been really easy for the voices to talk you out of putting yourself in the queue. Maybe even listening to the show. So if you've got this baby there. Well, okay, I'll put myself in the queue, and if I get picked on and then the baby starts crying, then that's what will be in the present moment. And if I need to pass the baton, I'll pass the baton. I mean, it's just such a perfect, tangible example of it.
Yeah. Well, and this present moment is really, I'm just feeling like a lot of gratitude right now for the fullness of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very full, beautiful present moment.
Yes.
As every present yes. moment is.
As every present moment is. That's right. And do we miss a lot of them? Uh-huh. Yes,
yeah.
we do. But that doesn't mean they're not full and beautiful and just, you know, beckoning our, come on, joy, come play with me in the present moment. And then we do,
yeah.
and we have the experience.
Yeah.
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 And I, what's coming up for me is that nothing needs to change, and everything mm-hmm. is changing.
Yeah, right. What a good point. Yes, nothing needs to change, right? There aren't any if-onlys. Those are in an imaginary future, and in every moment, everything is new.
Everything is changing.
All the time, all the time. And a baby is such a good illustration of that.
Oh.
You know, we're changing just as much as that baby, but it's much more obvious with the baby.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a delight. It's a delight just to hear that. Just that being animated in that way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there more, Karen?
Oh no, that's kind of that's kind of it for my morning. But thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity
thank you.
To participate. Thanks.
Yeah, pleasure. Okay, go happy.
Go happy.
Thank you, Karen and little one. And Jen, 15. We've got time for one more, so here
okay.
we go.
Great.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Chris. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hey, Loren.
Hi. Thank you. It's so grateful to be on the show and to get to talk to you guys. Viva Sangha. And what I noticed yesterday, you know, we've been doing these if-only assignments for the week, and right after I read what the assignment was for today, I heard a voice go, okay, I get it. You know, I don't want to do these if-onlys anymore. You know, they're suffering, okay. And I just in that. But what I saw in that and why I ended up making a recording about it anyway is that, yes, I recognize that this whole if-only thing is constant, exhausting pressure and suffering, and yet it is always going on in the background, whether it's really loud or whether it's subtle. And so it is exhausting, but I don't want to equate that with getting sick of looking at it.
Amen. Amen. It's so
yeah.
funny, isn't it? The voice never, ever gets tired of dishing it up. You know, this and that. I mean, in every moment, you know, we've been joking about that. Like, whatever it is, you know, if only
mm-hmm.
I would be walking when I'm talking. You know, whatever it is in the moment, it's,
mm-hmm.
there's always that if only. But then we spend 5 or 6 days, you know, with 5 or 6 different assignments and conditioning, oh, I'm over it. Gosh, I'm done with it.
Right. Yeah, like it became so like clear that you know, that the if only process is noodling and it's I can't figure it out and it doesn't lead anywhere and yet there's an addiction to it as well that it is controlling me and no matter how exhausting it is or how much suffering I see in it, it persists.
Yes, it's very similar to what Sequoia was saying, isn't it? That, you know, it would be one thing if that were really true. Oh, okay, I get it. If only it causes suffering, no more. But we intuitively
yes.
sense we have not heard the last of it. So then let me keep looking at it. You know, let me have, you know, the other day we were doing that quote on, if we lose the spirit of repetition, our practice will become difficult. So let me have that patience, as Karen was just pointing out, for that the spirit of repetition, looking at this over and over and over, with that it's new in every moment, because that's what it's doing to me, is it's using the same thing on me over and over and over.
Yes, and I've been looking in my practice in a lot of different places, this same thing that Sequoia was sharing about pressure and seeing it everywhere, and it's so persistent, it feels overwhelming, but at the same time, it is changing. You know, there are still places where there can be hopelessness and real confusion and if only, but of course it wants to pull me towards those examples and not the many places that I am freer and more loving and more grateful. It can be painful to look at it, but I also just really appreciate having the call and feeling so grateful and connected to practice and Sangha, because, you know, it's not everywhere. It's holding on to less ground for sure.
Yes. And it sounds like through the shows, through your own recording and listening, through doing the assignments, you're getting to actually see those shifts. Again, it's like Sequoia was saying, you get to realize, whoa, wait a minute, I'm receiving all of this around me. And in your case, wait a minute, there's a lot that has shifted around this, and getting to really be present to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of my, and the last thing I'll say, I know we're up at the end of the show, is just the one of the most fun ways to receive it is to sort of project it on other people on the call. Like, I've been listening all week, and, you know, people talking about the if-onlys that they suffer with, and then I feel all this compassion and tenderness for them that I'd wish for them not to worry about anything, and I just feel like how their lives sound so beautiful even with all these if-onlys, and then to go, okay, well, that's what's possible for all of us, even in these places where I can't yet feel it for myself.
Yeah. You could have that, in a way, that same relationship with Loren that you do with everyone else who calls in. Just that ability to see her life through that sweet lens of, yes, there are places that she gets caught, and yes, there are places that are painful and that are hard, and yet you can see the beauty of her life exactly as it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very lovely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Loren. Take good care.
Happy.
So happy.
Sure.
Thank you, Loren. And Jen, that's a perfect segue at the end of the show, and a perfect segue into the homework for today, for the assignment for today.
Okay.
And essentially that's page 98 in the workbook, the reading that's there, and it goes like this. Inside each of us is a persistent voice of discontent. It talks in terms of if-onlys and can never be satisfied. Its function is to keep you feeling as if there is always something missing, always something just beyond your reach, which if only you could get to it, would finally bring contentment. What do you think would happen if you stopped believing this voice?
Well,
and record and listen whatever arises with the reading and the question.
That's an awesome assignment.
Yeah, and it seems like a fitting cap to all of our week-long looking at if only. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Jen.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.